Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Outside Looking In. It's Tuesday night in Montgomery County. Difference is it's 9 p.m. The difference also is that Blog Talk Radio having a little bit of problems on the audio side, so not sure if you're hearing me. If you're not, sorry. If you are, outstanding. Listen up, because I got a lot to talk about. That's right. The program is called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. We're here every Tuesday. Let me laugh at that, because we haven't been here for a couple Tuesdays. You know what happened? Life got in the way. 8 o'clock was an impossible hour to get to the radio. So I pushed the show back. We got summer hours now. We got 9 o'clock. We're going from 9 to 10. We're going to talk about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. Phone number, if you want to get in touch with us, is 773-897-6423. Again, that's 773-897-6423. So what's on your mind? Well, I got a lot on my mind. It's been a long time since I've been able to speak to you, so I just wanted to let you know that we're going to go right to it. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk about a bunch of different things. We got some stuff from Montgomery County. We got some stuff from New York City. We got personal experience. I'm also going to tell you how I'm the greatest guy of all time. I'm the all-knowing, the magnificent Oz. I'm the guy behind the curtain. There's no doubt about it. Because something happened in Montgomery County that came out in the newspaper the other day. And they're talking about the Montgomery County School Board. And we're getting into this right off the bat, because I just want to tell you why this program is important. You listen to me, it's like, oh, Bruce, you do this for fun. You know, I do it for fun, but there are times where I don't want to say I'm an astute political mind, because astuteness can just come from watching the obvious. Everyone always says, oh, you're Captain Obvious. I can't believe you. Yeah. Like you, that wasn't visible. But to a lot of people, things aren't visible. To a lot of people, they don't know what's going on. They can't see the forest through the trees. They can't let alone see the forest. Washington Post article, shocker that I'm going to the Washington Post, but this was from a couple days ago. They said, failed school search for school's chief raises concerns. And they're talking about Montgomery County and the school board. First of all, the school board that got elected, who thinks they know better than you do, because they were elected. This is the problem with elections right now. Let me get to this point right off the bat. The problem with people getting elected is because they got elected, they feel a certain sense to themselves. It's just not accomplishment or pride, or I'm going to do community service. They start feeling that community service. They start thinking that they know better than you do. You know, I got up off the couch, and I took the run, and I spent my money, and I created a committee so I can be part of this. So now I know better than you do. No, you know what? You took the initiative. You have better initiative than I have. That's what it comes down to. And I'm not even speaking from a personal level, because I got up off the couch and I put my own money and I raised money and I ran for city council in a former lifetime. I was unsuccessful, but my whole goal was to govern for the community, to listen to the people. Sometimes you have to go out there and stop listening a little bit just to get something done. But the truth is, most politicians love politics. They love governing, except for the people. And that's why everybody becomes so isolated. That's why it becomes such a us versus them. They really, really do believe, most of them believe, they know better than you what's good for you. And this isn't even a case of, well, in a couple weeks they'll understand it. They'll see it. They'll see that there'll be some clarity to this. This is a case where, screw you. That's what it comes down to, screw you. And that's what's happening with the Montgomery County School Board. They had a problem with Joshua Starr. What that problem was, nobody knows. You know, in this whole world of transparency, transparency's lost. It's a talking point. It's not a reality. No one's going to give you transparency, but they think they did a bang-up job. such a good job that their top lead candidate decided that he didn't want the job because it wasn't going to be a fit, even though he was the preferred candidate, and that we're going in with Larry Bowers, who's an interim school interim superintendent for Montgomery County, which is fine, which should have been the move from the start because they rushed the whole process. But anyway, I get something, and I think I talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. You know, I go back to the archives. They're there, right there on Blog Talk Radio. Just look up Outside Looking In with me, Bruce Negrin, and you'll find it. You will find it. I don't know what show it was, but you will find it, where I said I got a survey from Montgomery County School Board asking me to come to a bunch of meetings so we can discuss what we're looking for in a superintendent. I know when I got this, I started laughing. Laughing hard. My wife comes up to me. My wife Gina comes up to me. She goes, "Why are you laughing so hard?" I go, "Because Montgomery County wants the whole community to come out and find out what they want in a superintendent." She goes, "Why is that funny?" And she knew why it was funny, because what are people going to say they want in a superintendent? Someone who could teach us how to read. Someone who's going to give us better math scores. Someone who's going to know how to do a budget. Someone who's going to do this, that, any other thing. I mean, when you cast such a wide net, there's no defined goals. That's where, you know, I mean, opening it up to the public, either that was a PR move or just a dumb move because it backfired. You know, I mean, you think you got PR where you're getting the community involved, but what's the community going to say? We want the gap between minorities and Caucasians to close so graduation rates are higher. This is what we want. I mean, if there are no nuts and bolts to it, we can all put out a wish list. What do you want for Christmas? I want an Acura. I want a Mercedes coupe, you know, C-Class, whatever it is, with a drop top. Can I afford it? No. But that's what I want. Put it on the wish list. Am I going to get it? No. Put it on the wish list. But this is what's funny, because out in the paper came something exactly what I was saying. And this is in the Washington Post from a couple days ago. It said, without other leading candidates, Bowers, a 37-year veteran of the school system, agreed to fill in. The right choice. And here it goes. Here's a quote. "I think it's never been clear to any of us what the school board is looking for and what they want," said Elaine Weiss, a Montgomery parent and a PTA leader who works as an education policy analyst in the district. "The board has appeared to lack focus," she said. "Their expectations for a superintendent were both so broad and so unrealistic. It's really a laundry list of every characteristic anyone could ever hope for, and it doesn't give any guidance in who they are going to pick." Washington Post, you want quotes like that? You don't have to go to an education specialist. You don't have to go to a PTA. Just go to a concerned parent who actually opens his eyes and looks at what's going on. That's what you have to do. Washington Post, call me up. 646-250-uh-uh-uh-uh. Or call me at the program, 773-897-6423. But I'm serious about that. It's like, this is what happens. I tell a story about Lulu's Bait Shack, a bar I used to work at and used to own in Atlanta, Georgia, in Buckhead area of Atlanta, Georgia. That whole part of Atlanta has been plowed over now. It's a whole different thing. They built like a Kentlands thing there now. But this was one of the greatest party places of all time. But anyway, I walk in there. I'm with a bunch of friends and guys who know how to run a bar. They come in there and I go, "Bruce, you know, you're down here, you moved to Atlanta, you're looking for a job. Why don't you become the bar manager, protect your investment?" I said, "Oh, okay. I don't have any much experience at this." They go, "But you're good with people, you can do this, you can do that, etc." I'm like, "Fine, I'll come in here." First thing I'm tasked with is cutting the liquor costs. That's what they say to me. Jeff comes up to me and goes, "You got to cut our liquor costs. We got to cut our liquor costs. I know we pour heavy because that's a secret to any kind of bar, especially when you're first opening. Pour a bit heavier. People will come back thinking the drinks are strong." Ha ha! There's a secret. Put that in your bank. You're opening up a bar, anybody in the Kentlands. But on top of that, he said, "Our liquor costs are too high. It seems like we got a lot of shortage, a lot of theft. We go in there to the liquor closet and stuff is missing." I'm like, let me put a blue ribbon staff together and a crack detective. In 3 minutes, I solved the problem. And they're like, "What? What? How did you solve it, Bruce? How? How are we going to eliminate our shortage? Liquor walking out of the back door." I go, "How about you put a lock on the door?" But that's what I mean. They were so focused in what they were doing, they had the blinders on. And I know I've told this story before, but that's what happens. You get so focused on some things, you don't look at the obvious. Montgomery School Board wasn't looking at the obvious here. Put a lock on the liquor cabinet. That's how you stop it. But these guys, you know, we want this, that, and the other thing. I promise you this, that, and the other thing. They think they know better. They don't know better. And they swear to God they did a good job on this school search. They won't release anybody else's names. But supposedly, what I was reading in this article, two of the others, one got a state job, like as the head of education for New York State. And I don't know where the other went, but it was another significant job. But they weren't considered. They were going to go with a 37 or a 38-year-old guy who's the head of education for the District of Houston, the Houston School District. He's been an administrator and worked for the district for a while, but a 37 or 38-year-old guy with no experience. You know, I am not against young people getting jobs, because sometimes if they have it, they have it. But there are certain jobs where you need experience. You have to know, it's the only way people learn at times, especially in situations like this. How's he going to handle a school strike? How's he going to handle something that he doesn't have any experience in? Yes, you can use judgment. Judgment is important, but you know what he's going to fall back on? His own education, a book education, not life experience. There is no price tag on life experience. That is the most important thing you can have. All the book education you need or want is fantastic. But how many of you have a boss out there that every time a problem comes up, he goes to page 67 of his MBA book? Well, this is how we should handle it. Schmucko, we don't have it like that. There are different X factors involved here that you need to make a decision on a personal level. I'm tired of you looking at your MBA book. Your MBA is not worth the paper it's written on if you don't know how to manage or you don't have life experience in certain things. Yes, it helps. But, you know, learning about Brown and the Board versus education is not going to help you in your own quest in Montgomery County. You have to live it. You have to have part of it. You have to serve under somebody, some tutelage, some mentoring, something. And again, you don't have to have it for years and years and years. But you got to have something. You got to have some life experience as the head man. That's where Montgomery County was making a mistake, because they want to be so progressive, we're going to get the new progressive guy, the young guy, to show how cool we look. Mistake. And you want to answer that? You want to use a sports analogy for that? Bill Belichick, all right? Maybe the greatest coach in football of all time. Whether he cheats or not, he gets away with it. And he loses a draft pick and $100,000. He gets away with it. He does it. You know, ethics might not be his forte, but look at all the people that have come off of his staff that haven't been with him for a long, long time. You know, guys who become coordinators or who are quarterback coaches, and all of a sudden they go out and they fail. They, you know, we're getting somebody from the Patriot dynasty. They go out to Kansas City to be a coach, or Denver, Josh McDaniel, you know, the 35-year-old wonderkind. Did it work for him? No. He had no life experience as a head coach. Oh, I could do what Bill does, but that's not doing what Bill does. You're not Bill. You understand where I'm going with this? Now look at Larry O'Brien, right? Larry O'Brien was part of the Patriots. He was the quarterback coach for the Patriots. He struck out on his own, became coach of Penn State. Head man, numero uno, big guy, head cheese, number one head cheese. Goes out to Penn State, coaches for 2 years, gets the experience of running a team, running the sideline, running the administrative parts of it, running a game plan. He might be brilliant in X's and O's, but being a head coach is about being able to run a training camp, having administrative skills, and being able to run a system. The system just isn't in the playbook. The system goes to what food they eat, to who the trainers are, to what time you get on the bus. When you have highly trained people like that, they need direction, and once they find that kind of direction, even though they might bristle at it at first, once there's success, they will live with it. They will live with it. So Bill O'Brien goes to become head coach of the Houston Texans, and now he's on his way. Josh McDaniel goes back to the Patriots, goes back into the administration to learn. And don't get me started, because I'm reading a book called Blood Feud right now. It's about the Clintons versus the Obamas. It's written by Edward Klein, and it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating, to get an inside look at the president. And he's heavy-handed on both sides, so it's not like I'm, you know, pro-Clinton or pro-Obama. You know, bash them both on the heads. You know, Bill Clinton, I'll give Bill Clinton what he was. He's a political strategist. I used to read articles about him. Sunday nights, he used to call everybody into his office, and they used to sit in front of a television or in front of a screen in a PowerPoint presentation saying, how are we going to get this senator or how are we going to get this congressman from District 37 in Omaha elected? Omaha, Nebraska elected. He had a bigger picture of everything. Not that he was just the president. Of course he had hubris that he was the president, but he also had a bigger picture of how to put his allies through a political process into effect. How can we help this guy in Omaha, Nebraska? Because if I help him, he's going to help me. And Clinton also understands about loyalty, that there is no loyalty in politics. But still, for these new guys coming up, you better believe he's got a Bill Clinton friend for life, or Bill Clinton has a friend for life. But I'm reading about Obama, and, you know, I mean, you know it, but I'm just glad someone's finally saying it. There are two books about him. This one, The Obamas versus the Clinton, and Edward Klein also wrote something called The Amateur. And that is the truth. Obama is an amateur. Whether it's just in his personality or not, he's an amateur in terms of government. He has no experience. State Assembly, senator for 2 years at least, and all of a sudden I'm going to be president, the head man, number one head cheese. And look how it's coming down. Look how it's coming down. Another guy who got elected who thinks he knows better than you about everything. He doesn't want to compromise with you. He just wants you to fall in line because I'm smarter than you. I went to Columbia. I went to Harvard. Big whoop. Right? I mean, seriously. Whoop-de-damn-do. Whoop-de-damn-do, Mr. Obama. It's not the office that I don't respect. I respect the office. I respect that he got the presidency, but look what the Obama factor has done. And I can't say this enough, because I'm going to say it again for this week. The Obama factor has enabled 10 Republicans to throw their hat into the field to become president. Whether they have experience or not, even guys who were left behind, even guys who didn't have experience in the past, who do now have experience as chief executive officers of states, Bobby Jindal, to name the one, he's going to get left behind. Ted Cruz, you know, the darling of the Tea Party, etc. This guy's got youth and energy. He doesn't have any experience. He might be bright as hell, but he doesn't have much experience. How's he going to run a country by saying no? The greatest thing that the United States has is compromise. You win a little here, you win a little there. But what's happening with this partisanship where everybody thinks on the left that they're so much smarter than you? It's disgusting. And it's offensive, is what the problem is. It's extremely offensive. I take offense to that. You can have a better idea than me, but you don't have to put it in my face. You know, all these people, it's like spiking the ball or running backwards into the end zone. We're going to have a lot of sports analogies right now because that's what it comes down to. It's like jumping into the glass after you score a goal and it's 5-0. It doesn't mean anything. It's obnoxious. It just makes me hate you. To be honest. But that's what we got right now. We got people who refuse to bargain. My way or the highway. It worked for Giuliani, right? You'll say, Bruce, well, you're a big Giuliani guy. With him, it was my way or the highway. But he had a point to clean up. He was getting back to zero. His style was going to run thin after a while. And it did run thin in New York City. You know, I mean, it petered out going out to national elections or running for president. Oh, I'll vote for Giuliani just because he kept people informed during 9/11. I mean, he changed the city. Don't get me wrong. He totally changed Manhattan. You know, people talk about the city. It's like, oh, it's the melting pot. Melting pot, please. You can't afford to have a melting pot. When white people are moving out to Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, when I was growing up, Bed-Stuy you stayed out of. You never even went there. Spike, the only person to go there was Spike Lee and Mike Tyson to make movies. Now people are living out there. And that's the funny part about New York City as well. There's so many people going to New York City because it's Shangri-La that people are moving so far away from Manhattan and where the most people work that you might as well move to the suburbs because the subway's not taking you out there. Or you got a 45-minute subway ride. You might as well go to the New Rochelle where it's only 33 minutes. So that's a different point for the people in Montgomery. You don't understand that. How could I say it? It's like, I don't know, the district's a little bit too small, but if the district keeps gentrifying, people are going to move into places that are so far away from like K Street that they might as well live in Montgomery County or in or deeper in Virginia in Sterling or Reston because it's going to be the same commute at some point. But experience, man, experience makes the difference. You could go in there and say you don't have there are certain levels of jobs in certain city council you don't have to have experience. But you might have to have some kind of experience outside of public policy with coalition building or understanding problems or building consensus. That's what you might need. You might not need governance policy when you're doing for city council or dog catcher. But damn Skippy, you need experience if you're going to be president. Whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, who's got a better resume? I mean, who's got a better resume than Hillary Clinton? You know, first of all, she grew up in the White House, right? 8 years in the White House. And you better believe her and Bill were a team on a lot of things. Then she gets out of there, becomes a senator for a number of years. Leaves the Senate, runs for president again, so she knows how that whole ball of wax works. And then she becomes Secretary of State. You know, I mean, that's experience. The thing that, unfortunately, is she needed to be in public service a lot more outside of this Clinton Foundation, which they use as a bank account. So, I mean, it's the lesser of evils, and she needs to have a rival. What I like about her and what I don't like about her, what I like about her is that she's more in the middle than most Democrats, which is a lost sight, which is a lost situation. You know, Democrat is synonymous with progressive now. They can't be a Democrat who can actually be fiscally responsible because it's taboo now. Taboo. And you might wonder, you're like sitting, well, and the other side is, shady. Shady, man. And she's flip-flopping a bit. You know, there's the word again, flip-flop. She's going a little bit more to the left. Don't sell out everybody, your base. They know you're going to the left just for the hell of it. They know you're over there. The left, the true left knows. Because they're smarter than you, Hillary. Just ask them. I mean, she needs a challenger. She's the preordained, but she needs a challenger. Who's it going to be? Martin O'Malley? Oh, no. Whoa, Nelly. He's rumbling, stumbling, fumbling. Fumbling, stumbling, fumbling. The man from Baltimore. It's a fumble. I mean, Martin O'Malley, he's going to try to paint him. It's funny because you read these guys and you read about the people in New Hampshire, which, again, every time I read about New Hampshire or Iowa, it just makes me mad because why do they get to pick the presidential candidates that move on? You know what we need to do in this country is change the primary system. You know, there used to be a Super Tuesday, and then New York moved its primary up and a couple others. They need to have two Tuesdays where everybody votes. Spread them out, but they need two Tuesdays where everybody votes and wins the nomination. Wins the nomination. It's a little too much German for me. Wins. Captain Puny, you are the Red Skull. But this is what needs to happen. Yeah? Or maybe even three, okay? And then done with it. Done with it. Enough of Iowa. Put Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina together. Put New York and California. You know, how does New York and California not get to kick out the main guy? You know, they're going to have the most electoral votes, electoral college votes, right? But they don't have the most important primaries. Something doesn't make sense to me there. Everything is antiquated in our system. It's antiquated. Because, you know, and a bunch of themes that we've touched upon is this one vote for one person. You got to go out there and vote. It is important that you vote. It is. I do. All right? Lived in Montgomery County for a year. I voted on the things I knew, the people I enjoyed. I researched and that people I enjoyed. I don't know what that means. But I researched the people on the county council. So, I mean, it's not like I went in there and voted blind. Oh, my duty is to vote. I'm going to go in here and press some buttons. That an uninformed vote is an idiot vote. That's as bad as not voting, in my opinion. Just because you drove to the polling place and signed your name somewhere doesn't give you the right to vote. You've got to read about something. And you people who go vote for the president and nothing else, that's not really voting either. Because all politics is local, and once you learn that, then you've learned the key to everything. You know, I was impressed when the Flickers were running, Steve and Robin, right? Or, you know, they came to my door. It's the only candidate in Montgomery County that came to my door, and I talked for a while. But, you know, the guy was like, the younger Flicker was a bump on a log. He's like, yeah. I mean, for a politician, I want to hear your ideas. I don't want to carry a conversation. I know what I think. I'll tell you what I think. What do you think? It's your time. It's your money. Seriously, it's your dime. He didn't say much, and even though I liked what he was saying in his political things, he didn't say anything. One-on-one. There was no cameras, no pressure. I didn't call my wife out or my kids. He didn't say anything. So what do you think about this? You know, I'm just going door to door shaking hands. Oh, then, you know, then that's cosmetic as well also. So take a walk. But that's why I did the research, because it's like finally somebody came around. I read what they had to say. You know, their palm card. Everybody's palm card is fantastic. One day I'll put mine online and you get to read what I had to say. Best part about my palm card and Neuro Show, if I'm going to be the oracle, as I say, I proclaim that I am. There are 9 things on my palm card that are coming to fruition in NeuroShell within the last 5 to 7 years. And there's only one candidate who's ever out there. He's like, as my friend Bruce Negrin said, as the candidate Bruce Negrin once said, this is what we should do. I was on the floor. On the floor. But my ideas all incorporated because I had the obvious ideas. I wasn't a politician at that particular point, but I had some good ideas for a place that I loved. Now, here in Montgomery County, am I going to run for anything? Do I have the bug to run? No, because I got to be more ingrained in the fabric of this community to understand more of the issues, to really be part of it before I could go out there and run. People who run for office are just running. Get them a pair of Adidas running shoes or Reeboks or Sauconys or something, because that's their life. They want to run. They enjoy the election process. They just want to be known as the honorable something. Why are you running? Because I think I can do a good job. Why are you running? Because I like the benefits. I'd like to be called county council. That's why. Do you know much about the issues? I know that we need better. The problem with Bob Rumson is that he's not going to change it. He's just going to tell you who to blame for it and why you should be scared of it. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's a slippery slope, because there are people out there who really do believe what they're talking about. But then again, you get someone in the House of Reps, Congress, right? And you read that scam, what happens there. They're there for 2 years, so their first year is learning about what's going on. Their second year is trying to get reelected. How are they governing? I mean, you see these movies about these junior congressmen, and it's all true, because they're all trying to get involved with something so they can have a record, so they can go back to their district and say, this is what I've done. Freshman congressman. I mean, that's probably worse than being a freshman at West Point, a plebe. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But, yeah, I mean, Democratic, Republican, you know, on the Republican side, you know, you probably wonder where I sit. Bruce, where are you, Republican? Yeah, I am a registered Republican. But I sit in the middle. Oh, yeah, you in the middle. You talk about the middle. What does that mean, man? What does that mean? It means I take a little bit of everything. I don't understand why the middle is so wrong. When did we go wrong? How come there are no people in the middle? How come everybody's got to be so far on one side and so far on the other? Because everybody wants to scream at the top of their lungs and say, I'm right. You know, I'm tired of even explaining who I am, where my political views are. I'm all over the board. You know, a Republican against fracking? A Republican for the environment? My friend Francois Hollande. Francois. He said it a while ago. He goes, how come there can't be a party of Republicans for the environment? Hello, I'm there, I'm in. You know, and all these dodo birds who say, you know, the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on man is global warming. You know, maybe it is the biggest fraud ever perpetrated. But what's so wrong about not polluting your air or your water? What's so wrong about not taking a layer of earth and shooting in water and sand and fracking it to get gas and having either earthquakes and or bad water? Even though the EPA puts out something on fracking. Perfect government document. It's for it and against it. You know, there are pros and cons. No! I was going to curse there. Yes, I was. No kidding. Pros and cons. But what outweighs what? What outweighs what? In Maryland, I was glad to see this. I'm living in another state with a fracking ban right now. Actually, it's still a moratorium. Larry Hogan came in and said, oh, we're going to frack. We got to get the jobs for the people. Hey, man, I'm serious. We need jobs for the people. We really, really do. People need to make money. People deserve to eat if they're willing to work for it. And to get better jobs and higher paying jobs. You know, I don't know if fracking and working on an oil rig is a better job. It's just higher paying. It's like what I'm doing right now. I'm working in sales. It's not a better job. It's just better paying than what else is out there, which could be more productive to humanity. But I got a family to feed, so I'm caught in the grinder. I made my deal with the devil. I have to provide for my family, so I'm not in a satisfying position. I don't love my job. Matter of fact, it frustrates me at times. I'm in sales, but I like to talk to people. You know, so I mean, that's the fun part, fulfilling something and showing how responsive I am and can be and showing how caring and how ethical. I like that part. I like those parts. But the other BS, you know, about, oh, what's our sales plan? What's this? Our evergreens and all that other stuff. You could have a walk. Take a walk with that. You know, if it was up to me, I'd like to work for the Red Cross and promoting blood drives. That's what I'd like to do. That would be a life's work for me. But the Red Cross is another thing, you know. Hurricane Katrina, September 11th, they got thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations. They used them to upgrade computer systems. Okay, thank you. Why don't you just do a fundraising campaign for that and say that? You know, transparency. That's about transparency. But anyway, what I'm saying about fracking is, yeah, people have jobs, but that's really selling your soul to the devil, in my opinion. You know, China, the greatest industrial nation in the world, polluting their own rivers. People are going to have to move because they can't drink the water. Can't barbecue in Beijing. You can't barbecue in Beijing. Can you imagine we try to pull that in Texas or North Carolina? Can't barbecue. Too much smoke in the air. So, fracking... I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see a moratorium. But Larry Hogan was out there, oh, I'm going to get these jobs, as I've mentioned before. The thing came across his desk. He ignored it. He didn't have the votes to veto it, so he just ignored it, and it became law. For 2 more years, Maryland doesn't have fracking. What I got to say is good. It's good. I mean, I could see the people in New York State and Pennsylvania. Right? Pennsylvania has fracking. New York State, the southern tier, which is depressed, doesn't have it. You know, and sometimes when you get on those state borders, it's left or right. You're in Pennsylvania to buy milk. You're in New York to buy cigarettes, whatever. Some kind of example like that. But you go back and forth, especially when I lived in the New York area, in the metropolitan area, or just down here. How many people live in Maryland work in Virginia, right? So it's back and forth. The economy is tied in, but they see their brothers working in Pennsylvania on fracking, and the southern tier of New York's not, and they get mad. Oh, they got a better house than I do. You know, they got a new truck. They have new tools, etc. I hear you, brother. But to what extent? To what cost? Maybe you'll have to pick up and move over. I don't know. You know, I mean, got to protect the environment somehow. In some way, you can't have a little of something. Can't have a little fracking. Can't just do it. You just can't do it. It's one of the things I do wave a flag for. I don't believe in it. I don't like it. And even with fracking, right? What about gas prices? Where's this story? Oh, gas prices at an all-time low. You know, I'm glad we're not paying $4 for it. I'm glad we're not at $3.99. But there are a couple places that I'm watching, like just on the corner here of 28 and Quince Orchard, that's at $3.89, $3.90. It's coming back. You know, for as quick as it dropped, it crept up pretty quickly as well. You know, the $1.99 Shell station on Goody Road, that's at $3.89 right now. 90-cent jump. Where's AA now? Triple AA. Where's AAA now? Where are the people saying this? Oh, there was, and then the Washington Post continues to say, with people with more money in their pocket, not that much more money anymore for gas prices. You know, it's like, come on. Things are relative. Don't say I have more money because of gas. Yeah, I got a little bit more. But, you know, when it was $3 or $2.99 or $1.99, you know, that's when I'm saving money. Did I say $3.89? It's $2.89. Excuse me. It's $2.89. There goes my whole argument. Still cheaper than it was, but it's coming back to the $3 level is what I'm saying. You got a problem with that? Then give me a call. Phone number is 773-897-6423. 773-897-6423. So you know I got a radio show. It's called Outside Looking In. We're on every Tuesday night. We're going to try to be on every Tuesday night, especially during the summer. We're starting our program at 9 p.m. When the sun goes down in the California town, we will be going on the air. That's going to be the story now. I don't want to miss this program. If you want to sponsor this program, call out 1-800-FRACKING. But yeah, I mean, I pay a bit of money, pay a little fee to get on the internet, but I enjoy it. Talk radio and radio itself, I enjoy. I just hope you guys listen, and I hope you get something from this. I really do. And if you do, let me know. We got a Facebook page called Outside Looking In. You can email me at bnegrinradio@yahoo.com, or you could just track me down on, you know, on the street. But if you enjoy what we're saying or you think there's some value to what we're saying, tell your friends and tell your neighbors. I'm totally serious about this. Self-promotion is the only kind of promotion we can do. So, I mean, if you think this program's worthwhile, even if you're listening on archive, tell your friends about it. Say, hey, this guy might be talking some sense, a little bit of sense. Let's create a movement. Let's create a group so when something is upsetting us, we can go out there with a unified voice and say something about it. Whether it's local, whether it's county, whether it's state or national. Because I got a local issue right now, and this is about a business. A business, I tell you. Business. We can take care of business. But I got a Honda CR-V, 2005. I take it up to the dealer because I got a problem with the door lock. You know, everybody tells you don't take the car to the dealer for work because that's how they make their money. Fair enough, but I got a problem with the door lock. It's not like a carburetor or something like that where I could take it to Manny, Moe, and Jack at Pep Boys. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take it up there, get it done. I go in there, I say, let me get an oil change, and I want to run a diagnostic, and I want you to take a look at the door. They run a diagnostic test. It cost me $130. They come out of there. They tell me $130. They say, well, if you run this diagnostic, if you get any work done at Criswell Honda, mind you, Criswell Honda Service Department. Let me say that again, Criswell Honda Service Department. They tell me at Criswell Honda Service Department, that if you want any work done, you know, we'll apply this diagnostic back, this 130 back to whatever work you get done. I bring my car in there for a diagnostic and a $30 oil change or $20 oil change. They come back with $2,700 worth of stuff that's wrong. I was laughing. $2,700 of stuff that's wrong and $250 of that was the door lock. So $2,200 of this car, which seems to be running fine, and I hate to talk about it, I'm knocking wood, seems to be fine, but now it's got $2,200 worth of damage to it. And the best part is, this isn't like stuff that you should take a look at in the future. They put it under the critical list. Critical! Code blue! Code blue! My car is like, boom! Stand back! Charge the battery. Clear. But And I'm like, wow. Wow. So anyway, I got the breakdown. This is $207. This is $400. Grease leak or something is, that's going to be $300. So I got all of this stuff written down in a quote, in a paper quote that I kept. Because if I went back there, I said, this is what I was going to get done. I was going to get the door locks done. I just didn't have time to do it that day. So I go back to Criswell Honda Service Department. Criswell Honda Service Department. The Criswell Honda Service Department. I go back to them. I give them a call on the phone. I'm like, hey, Mark, how you doing? It's Bruce Degren. I got some diagnostic tests run by you about 26 days ago. I have a quote in front of me saying that you could fix the door for this price at Criswell Honda Service, and you could fix this for this price at Honda Criswell Service. They said they could fix it. It's on the quote. The guy calls me and says, yeah, we can honor those prices, no problem. Fine. I'm going to go in there and get my door lock fixed because it was coming a pain in the neck. You know, it's amazing how you get used to something. And the electronic door lock, you get used to it. I used to open up doors with keys. I used to be a gentleman, go over to my wife's side or my girlfriend's side and open the door with the key. You know, now you look like a schmuck if you go, ee-ee, and open the door. I guess you could still open the door, but there's no gentleman, there's no chivalry in hitting the beep-beep. But anyway, I digress, which is a great surprise. But I go there. And I go into Mark, and I sit there, and I'm like, hey, I'm here for the service. I called him the day before, told him, and we went over the quote, and he says, fine. I sit down, and we're going over stuff. He goes, okay. He goes, okay, I'll get this written up, and I'll come back and talk to you for a sec. He comes back and talks to me, and he said, yeah, the prices I gave you were wrong. To fix that door lock is going to be an additional $175. This is 7:20 in the morning. I was mad that it was so early, because there weren't enough people at Criswell Honda Service Center in the lounge for them to hear what I had to say. You know, I was so mad. And then he went up and he said, all of these prices are wrong. And he rewrote them all to where extra, where it came out for $2,200 on to fix everything, was going to be over $3,000 now. And I was like, you have to be kidding me, Mark. I said, you are kidding me, aren't you? And I mean, I knew what it was coming out. My teeth were gritting. I lost the cap because of it. I don't have caps. But I ground my teeth so bad, I got sensitive nerves now. But I was like, you got to be kidding me with this. And that's a big line for me. Are you kidding me? That's what I say to my kids all the time. I said, you're going to come out here and charge me another $175 for something that I called you about that is on paper and I called you about yesterday. Yesterday. I didn't make this a big surprise. You knew I was coming, and then you're going to try to run this on me? You're going to try to run it? You talk about unethical, dishonest, and just a flat-out fraud. That is fraud. That you write a quote and you can't even honor it. The quote is not even worth the piece of paper it's on. You're going to come out and tell me, oh, the quote I said was good yesterday and I just looked at, I wrote the prices down wrong. It's actually going to be $175 more. And I put up an argument, man. Oh, people who know me that I can argue. I love to argue. I should have been a trial lawyer. You know, I was like, listen to me, Mr. Jury. No, but anyway, I was going back and forth. I was like, that's unacceptable. I said, give me the keys right now. I said, just give me the keys. I said, because I'm leaving this place and I'm going to tell everybody I know about this place, Criswell Honda, Honda Criswell Service Center, Criswell Honda Service Center, whatever you want to call it. And the funny part is, he says, well, wait. He's like, wait. Well, I'll see what I can do to get as close to these as possible. Damn Skippy, you will. I don't think that was a question. You're not doing me any favors to honor a quote you said you were going to honor the day before when I called, before I brought the car in and set up this appointment. There was no surprise. I didn't bring a birthday party and say happy 50th. I made an appointment. You son of a bitch. Seriously, I think that language is appropriate right now. You son of a bitch. Bait and switch like this? Screw you, man. I was like, I said, I'm pretty sure I'll find another Honda dealer. Wait, Bruce. I'll honor these prices. I'll get as close to them as I can. So that's perfect. I said, well, Mark, you better. Comes out an hour later, shows me, you know, a couple hours later, and I'm still boiling because I'm listening to everybody in that service room now who I wish was there before when I lost my cool. But I'm listening to everybody come out of here and say, oh, yeah, sir, you came in for the check engine light, but what you came in for is not really the problem, it's this. Yes, sir, you came in here for some oil, but you need new tires, new wipers, and it was like going to Jiffy Lube. You know, I mean, you expect something reputable from Criswell Honda Service Department, but no, everybody in there was going to pay more or something else. They found $2,200 worth of damage for something else. I mean, you talk about, why do you have to make the experience so hard? You know, I mean, there's certain things, stereotypes live because there's a real reason for it, right? And the stereotype of thieves and crooks at car dealerships, it lives. It's not a stereotype because it was flat out there, $175 more on what I came in for. And then he was still going to try to get me for another $150 on some extra work I said you might as well fix because I knew I had a leak. You son of a bitch. Really? So anyway, he comes out. And he's like, oh, Bruce, you know, here it is. I got it as close to possible. And he did. That I'll say. But not without me yelling at him. And I don't want to yell at somebody. Not at 7 in the morning. Just come out and honor what you're supposed to do. And then we won't have any yelling. I'll shake your hand and I'll get on a radio show. Top and drop my moonroof and jump out and say, Criswell Honda's the best. But it really sucks. You think they'll sponsor this program? No, but anyway, he comes out. And he's like, well, it's going to be this amount. I said, what about that $130 diagnostic credit that I'm supposed to be getting? He goes, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that. You ever have sound effects go off in your head? Because I sure as heck did. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, exactly, boo. And then I was like, Mark.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
We sure as hell did. That $130 credit, if I didn't say anything, I would have walked out of there. Nice job, you son of a bitch. I mean, I don't think there's any other words for it. But Criswell Honda up on Aramath Drive in Germantown, their service department, I don't know what their guys are like when they're selling cars, but their service department, you get the big for the week. Never. I will never go back there again. Never go back there. The funny part is I put it out on Facebook, and one of my friends goes, you know, I was just that mad that I went to social media. One of my friends goes, they have a Twitter site. You should put at Criswell Honda Service and tell them what's going on there, and they'll fix it. I said, you know what, let me get my car out of here, because what they're going to do is put sugar in the gas tank. You never argue with someone while they still have your car up on the lift. You know, come on. That's what I told them. I said, no. We will exact our pound of flesh after the car is down. That really made me mad. Really, really made me mad. You know what else makes me mad? What, Bruce? Everything? Breakfast? Breakfast makes you mad? See, the thing is, I laugh about it. I know it, so I can laugh about it. But this is another of the Outside Looking In awards for unbelievableness. Did you know California's in a drought? Yes, we knew that. They're in a historic drought. Lakes are drying up. Towns that got flooded over are being, you know, reappearing. Animals are dying. Wetlands are dying. Do you know California, most cities in California never, ever had a water meter on the houses? California never regulated the water that you can use or never measured the water that people could use. They never put water meters on people's houses. Are you kidding me? There you go. See, I told you. Are you kidding me? I mean, that I was dumbfounded when I read that fact. You know, Sacramento, 60% to 70% of the houses and businesses there do not have water meters. You cannot tell how much water is being taken out. let alone how do you figure out how people pay for it? Yeah, California, be flip with your water. The one natural resource that you can't afford to be flip with, you are. You know, not since the 1880s. You know, since water became like reservoirs or whatever, since they started going groundwater, anything, they never regulated it. That's out of control. That's insane. Insane. I mean, Governor Jerry Brown saying everybody's got to cut 20% of their water use. They don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, what's up with that, California? What's up? So you've been to Baltimore lately? I was reading some stats about Baltimore. Baltimore still slowly, well, let's not even say recovering. They're not recovering yet. Because the Horseshoe Casino, right, the casino downtown, come to the Horseshoe for happy hour. Molotov cocktails everywhere. That's an unfair statement. I actually like Baltimore. It's gritty, it's tough, but it's not the reasons why I like it. They got some cool stuff going on that, up there. But the Horseshoe Casino has dropped in the month of May. It's dropped about $1.5 million, if not more, in revenue. And the Maryland Live in Anne Arundel County has gained about $3 million. I wonder where the people are going. I wonder. Yeah, don't tell me that these casinos, you know, that's more money. It's like fracking, you know? I mean, selling your soul to raise revenue. But don't tell me that this, you know, that these guys don't cannibalize each other, because that's what's happening. And then they're going to put another casino in National Harbor. You know, not that many people are gambling anymore. And once they realize that they're not winning, they stop gambling. 1-800-GET-YOUR-SHIRT-BACK. That's something I don't understand. But also, the murder rate in Baltimore is out of control. It's absolutely out of control. I mean, it's been the highest they've ever had. What'd they have, like 37 murders in less than 30 days in May? People stopped doing their jobs. There's no doubt that the police have stopped doing their job. They're afraid of everything now, and it's like it's either a slowdown, a shutdown, or they're just flat out afraid that any time they even pull anybody over, they're going to get yelled at, you know, for a good arrest, that someone's going to do something to them. You know, it's a vicious cycle. It really is. And that's what makes me laugh when I was talking about Martin O'Malley. He goes to Baltimore to say, oh, this is where we're going to rebound. I mean, did everything just miss Baltimore? Did they only just develop the water and no one wanted to go anywhere else? I don't know. You know, and I guess that's what happened when you moved, you know, Memorial Stadium out of a neighborhood downtown. I mean, you made downtown something, but you're paying. Somebody's paying for it somewhere else. When you take, somebody's paying for it somewhere else. It's amazing. I mean, the recovery is going to be very slow going in Baltimore. I mean, I wonder what Oriole attendance is like. That would be the tell, Oriole attendance, because people love Camden Yards. They love the Orioles. But if their attendance is down outside of the day that they couldn't play, outside of that week, but if their attendance is down, that makes a big difference too. I mean, how do you recover? You don't recover from stuff like that. You don't bounce back. Because it takes too much time. Riots can kill cities. I mean, look at Detroit. Look at Watts. You know, I mean, these are real things. And Detroit never came back. Never came back. People were afraid. Got to stop being afraid. Go back. But, you know, I also don't want to take a bottle to the head. Especially, I mean, I'll go alone. I don't want to bring my kids yet. I don't want to be responsible for an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. You know, we want to go to a baseball game, and I definitely want to go to Baltimore first. I appreciate Camden Yards. I've never been to National Stadium, you know. So, but the Nationals, man, giving away tickets for $11, some Groupon or whatever. That's worth it. Bring your kids, you know. $44 for tickets. I'll do that. I'll bring my kids. Even if we sit upstairs, I get to see a ball game. We just got to come when the Mets are around, because that's the only team that matters. Meet the Mets, greet the Mets, step right up and meet the Mets. Bring your kitties, bring your wife.
Now we win, I kind of fuck all we go to. Then we win, I got a book all out of my bed.
That's not fair. The Mets song was perfect. It was perfect, and former friends got to get involved here. But anyway, one more thing that's going on. New York City, we're talking about Baltimore. New York City, the murder rate and the shootings rate is going up. Bill Bratton, who was the who brought in the advent of the broken windows theory to policing with Giuliani back in the early 90s. He wrote an op-ed, or actually not even an op-ed, just a column in the New York Post today saying that, you know, this is not a return to New York's bad old days, to the bad days of, you know, we're still at historic lows. Just because, you know, we've had a couple more murders and a couple more shootings doesn't mean that anything's turning a corner. Man, when things are raising and it's not even the dead of summer yet, you know, it's when you change your police tactics and it shows right away, then something's changing. You know, this is what happens. People, the thing I don't know. Maybe it's, you think it's a sport of mine to bust out on progressives. But Bill de Blasio, the progressive mayor of New York City, you know, the things with liberals, there's no middle ground with a liberal. It's like, we got to go so far to the left that's the way it is. I know better than you, that's the way it is. No more this, no more that. Anything we didn't like before, anything that seemed repressive or anything that seemed like it was a Republican ideal, we're getting rid of. Whether it's working or not, we're getting rid of it. We're going to give everybody, we're going to give all the unions, I'm going to be in bed with the unions. You know, and again, it's making me sound like a bad guy. You got to, you know, you got to take care of the teachers. You got to take care of the firemen. You got to take care of people. You know, city services, that's what's important. You got to take care of them. But you don't have to be in bed with them. How do you negotiate with someone you're in bed with, right? With lobbyists for them. How do you do it? You don't. It doesn't happen. They ask and you have to give. And if you don't give, you're not going to get reelected. I mean, de Blasio, he came in and changed New York head over foot here. And it just came down when we were moving 2 years ago when de Blasio came in. I said to my wife, I said, Gina, you know, I'm a little bit worried about New York City right now. Because with de Blasio coming in and knowing what he was about, I knew he was public advocate. I didn't even know much about his background, but I was just listening to his rhetoric. And his rhetoric turned into, wasn't rhetoric, it was real. You know, I'm going to make New York progressive. We're going to do this. We're going to do that, the other things. I mean, this guy thinks he can be president, and that's the funniest thing that I've ever heard in my life. Because the worst position, political position you could ever get to be, to jump ahead is mayor of New York City. Nobody's ever done it. I think the only person who's ever gotten out of mayor of New York City became governor. And that was like in 1890 with the Bosch Tweed kind of stuff going on. But anyway, it's just, you know, when you let things slip and you let things change and you change the whole landscape of something that's been successful and you try to change it 180 and then murder rates start jumping up, crime starts jumping up, and violent crime. I mean, things that the New York Post will sensationalize because it's sensational crime anyway. But they'll build and build and build on it. But you got to understand, it's like, that's not the way to run a city. And to gloss it over just saying, oh, it's a blip, is not the way to do it either. And Bill Bratton, it's like, there's nothing worse than seeing guys who know the job that they're supposed to do and the guys who can do their job having their wings clipped because of some agenda going on from a higher office. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Yeah. It's the progressive way of doing things, Mr. Obama, Mr. de Blasio. It's the progressive way of doing things. You know it, and I know it. Now, let me tell you what else. The program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negron. I appreciate you listening. We're about to wrap up a little bit. Write this number down for next week so you don't have to wait for it. The phone number is 773-897-6423. Again, that's 773-897-6423. It's supposed to be two-way talk radio. I need you to listen. I need you to call. Check us out on the Facebook, Outside Looking In. If you want to email me, Bruce Negron Radio or bnegronradio at yahoo.com. And check us out on the Blog Talk Radio. On the archives. If you can't catch the show live, catch us on the archives and let us know that you listened. Again, we're going to come back at you next Tuesday at 9 p.m. That's the summer hours. So every Tuesday at 9 p.m., we're going to try to make it happen. That's the end of the episode. My name is Bruce Negrin. Hey, step up to the mic because no one's going to say it for you. And do something today that'll make it better tomorrow. I appreciate you listening. And you know what? Have a good day.